Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Kathy Anderson is in this morning from Empower House. 373-9373 mm-hmm. is the hotline number for Empower House. And unfortunately deal with domestic violence, and we were talking, and domestic violence takes so many different forms, and we saw it around here yesterday, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately, a major tragedy resulting in at least the deaths of two people.
Yeah,
and domestic violence kills, and it is part of the reason why there is so much fear that goes along with domestic violence. Yeah,
it is. It's for two people to lose their lives, for two children,
and all the family members that you can imagine. Right?
Friends and in community. Yeah, and you don't often think of that. You think about the kids, but you also just their friends and family members. Mm-hmm. There is such a hole now.
Tremendous loss. Yeah, such tragic, senseless. You know, and I think about the terror that she must have been feeling as she was driving down the road with her children in the car, trying to get away from gunshot.
Yeah, gunshots and a number of gunshots. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing is, so we all, I look at that and saw it play out yesterday, and it's just so shocking. And when these kinds of things happen, I know a lot of times the situations, the stories that happen in the community aren't out there, but you all see that,
right? And we didn't name, of course. I know what I read about, but as she was trying to drive down the road and get away from presumably her boyfriend or husband.
Yeah.
He was pursuing her, and then at some point started shooting, and she was driving on, they were driving on Fredericksburg roads. And as she got onto Route 1 and continued down the road, it sounds like, from what I read, that he did, that the bullets, you know, he did shoot her.
Right.
And then maybe that is the reason why the car crashed, and the 7-year-old and 3-year-old were in the car. And when they arrived and rushed her to the hospital, and I think the children were treated for minor injuries from the car crash, but I guess he was still on scene. And when the police showed up, he then fled, and eventually they found him in the car with a bullet wound and deceased.
Yeah.
Which, super sad.
Yeah, and again, we unfortunately you see this, the statistics bear out what, you know, we saw play out yesterday.
We've been talking about it for years. Every 5 days, a Virginian is killed because of domestic violence, and we are actually at this time we do not know every year now how many are killed from domestic violence, because the Virginia Office of the Chief Medical Examiner no longer tracks intimate partner violence homicides and produces a report.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's a hole in the data right now, and I don't know why that program stopped, and I hope that program starts again, because it is very important for us to know, you know, what is happening and how to prevent such things. And if you don't really know, you know, what the data is, you know, you're kind of at a disadvantage.
Yeah, I just think of what you and others do when you deal with this, to not have that, not to be able to point to some data.
Oh, yeah.
And because it's, a lot of times it's that data tells us how alarming the situation is.
Right. I mean, is it a problem? Of course it's a problem. You could talk about the situations you know about, but if you don't have full data across the state, it is more difficult to make the case of what is needed in terms of support and help.
Mm-hmm. As you talk about just the situation yesterday and the terror she must have felt, and we all can hear and see the story and see that. Mm-hmm. When we talk, the women can feel terror every day, unfortunately, with situations. I mean, you told them. Remember you were in the winter, and it was when it was so bitterly cold, and talked about situations where women would be, you know, put out into the cold, those kinds of things.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, when we use the word domestic, because, you know, I think it's reported out that in a domestic dispute, this thing happened. And I think those words are describing several things. But one of the connotations is this is not a danger to the general public, and because it's domestic. Well, the domestic nature of domestic violence means there's a lot of danger happening behind closed doors in our community that people are feeling every day.
Yeah.
And how that plays out is behaviors that control another person, that intend to have power over them. And when they begin to lose that power or perceive that they're losing that power, it escalates. And I think yesterday's tragedy demonstrates that escalation. I think about, you know, the threats, I will kill you. I think of women who say to us, well, he threatened to kill me, but he does that. He says that all the time. And eventually they become kind of numb to it.
Yeah.
But in fact, that is a reality they fear and need to worry about and do worry about and have to, you know, alter their lives every day to try and figure out how not to become a statistic.
Well, and it just stands to reason that what happened yesterday wasn't the first time that's happened, and obviously there were things leading up to that, and so yesterday probably wasn't was obviously not the first time that she had felt terror.
Yeah, we don't know what was going on, but we know she was trying to get away from him.
Yeah,
and that's also another reality, is that domestic violence danger escalates when someone leaves during that time period when someone's trying to get out of the relationship. There tends to be an escalation on the part of the person who's using that harm, and they're trying to get their control back. They're trying to demonstrate, you can't leave me, you know, this is finite, and the threats escalate, and I presume in the mind of the person using that control and that danger, they are prepared to act on their threats.
Yeah. Kathy Anderson here this morning from Empower House, empowerhouseva.org. Also, the hotline number is 373-9373. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Kathy Anderson in this morning from Empower House, empowerhouseva.org. The website, again, the hotline number is 540-373-9373, 373-9373. The other thing that came to mind, Kathy, in just watching everything kind of unfold yesterday and see a domestic violence case, unfortunately, play out in front of our eyes, just the importance, and we talk about this all the time, just the importance of having finances to be able to do what you do. And whether it is in the schools or, you know, all the various different things along the way, that in all the different programs that you have, and all the great people, staff members that you bring in that are so qualified to do what they do, but it does cost money to do what you do.
I think of the things we could do also if we had the funds, right? And so, you know, we can prevent domestic violence. You know, we can prevent tragedies. And that involves working with young people. And we certainly do that, but we could do more of that, right? But we could do more of that with more resources. And then I also think about the lethality assessment protocol that we have with the Stafford Sheriff's Office and the Quiet Police Department. So strictly in one locality. And that means that when they're on the scene, they provide a questionnaire on the risk factors for dangerousness, and then depending on the answer, their protocol is to reach out to our one number that we've set up and that we will answer immediately, and then we connect with the survivor based on their voluntary decision to connect with us, and how many more people now are connected to services because of that protocol, and also assessing, like, the future risk. So if we had more funding, if we had more resources, we would replicate that in other areas that have asked us to do that with them, but we just don't have enough people.
I didn't know you did that, but what a great what a great idea that is to right away be able to assess, or for you to know, hey, there's a problem. Let's get on this.
Yeah, the officers are really well trained and really dedicated. So once the scene is cleared, then they can ask those, you know, I don't know, let's say it's 11 questions. And depending on how those answers are, they will get connected to us.
Well, and it's so interesting. No matter, every time when I've talked to officers, whether it's been with you or even in other situations, when you're talking, they all appreciate this so much, because this is an area that they don't understand, and that's one of the areas over the years that you and I have been talking that we've seen a real big change of where law enforcement, when you offer these kinds of things, they always. You know, enthusiastically want to, you know, have that provided to their offices.
Really increased understanding by law enforcement of domestic violence and intimate partner violence, and they really, like you said, really embrace the information, embrace the partnership, and you know, it's just essential to better respond to survivors and their children.
Every time I can just think of it so many, whether it's law enforcement themselves or just even people that deal in that area, they all talk about how that they, before they started working with Empower House, they didn't have, you know, really, this was an area that they didn't feel strong about or understand what to do, and they do now.
I think it's easier to care about it when you know there's someone to hand off for services, when you know you have a partner.
Yeah, that you don't have to do it.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, they want to focus on their job and they want to understand it. And so often, so many people do struggle to understand it. It is really counterintuitive, but they are very excited about outcomes. You know, if you're every day you're responding to various domestic violence calls, you don't really believe anything's changed, because that's what you're doing day in and day out. You see that tragedy, you see the negative, you see how tough it is for people, and you know, they're very tense and scary situations for the people involved and for law enforcement to respond. And so how do you get your mindset around, well, some of these situations resolve and people move on and it doesn't continue when they get help and when they make changes, when they're able to do that. So I think that's very positive for law enforcement to see that.
Boy, when you say this, and I mean, this should be a fundraising line that when you said, when we started this particular segment and said, you know, we can prevent domestic violence. We just don't have the funding. It's preventable. Yeah. That just catches you. All of a sudden, you just think this something that seems so big, and well, there's nothing you can ever do, but you do have these programs.
Catch people when they're young and really help them to understand what it is that is a problem and how, wait a minute, I don't have to think that way, or oh, I can treat someone better, and oh, there are resources, and wait a minute, what do I want in my relationship? Girls ages 16 to 24 are three times as likely to be victims of domestic violence than adult women. And if you think of the statistic over the lifetime, one in four women will be severely victimized at the hands of an intimate partner. So a lot of that violence is happening very early on in relationships, when people are trying to navigate and understand what relationships are all about. It's very romantic. It's very impractical in many ways, with the love sort of, it's like, you know, people don't know what relationships are, and therefore they get into one and they're very ill prepared. So that early work with friendships, you know, what's a healthy friendship?
Yeah.
what's a healthy relationship? These are all things for kids to navigate and maneuver and learn about and be able to talk about. But where do they get to talk about it? You know, nobody wants kids in relationships before they're prepared to be in relationships. No parent wants their kids.
No.
You know, it's like, you may not date until you're 20.
Right. You're like, what? You want to what? Right.
So it's like not something people really want to talk about, but there are ways to talk about friendships and the way you interact with people that you don't have to worry. I mean, you can't control it. In middle school, kids are dating.
Yeah. No, and boy, but that statistic, I did not realize that. You said 16 to 24, they're three times more likely. Mm-hmm. That statistic in itself, and that's why these programs we do so many shows, and you talk about it so much of why the school program mm-hmm. is important, and even to teach those, because even when they get older, when we talk and you often talk about people who are later in life dealing with this, and often very successful and still making excuses, mm-hmm. and if you don't learn that early, you may never learn it, or you may not learn it until you know, much later in life, which is really unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, if your primary person is how you get your relationship information, and that person is unhealthy and mm-hmm. abusive, then what else do you know?
Yeah, no, it's a scary thing, and you see why it's important and why you are doing more and more of working with law enforcement and also working in mm-hmm. the schools and how that school program is so vital.
We have to collectively get more comfortable talking about relationships and healthy relationships and unhealthy relationships. We, you know, dance around it, or we might see things and we're not so eager to address them. And it is very... it feels very risky if you're a parent, you know, to really talk about those things, because you see things and you want to help somebody through it, but you also know you could become more isolated from your child, yeah. depending on how you handle that. But we strive to go to every school and provide those presentations where we're invited. And I would say the difference between now and, say, pre-COVID is there was a time when we were ramping up and we were actively out there, you know, letting people know that mm-hmm. we do this and trying to arrange presentations. Right now, we're just reacting to presentations because of capacity. We need more capacity to, you know, do more outreach and get out there more than those who already know about us and invite us.
So I was going to say, you know, it's great that you've got school systems and in mm-hmm. places that they're inviting you in. I guess it probably varies though too. There probably would some, because I can even imagine some parents might say, I don't know that I want my child to be exposed to this, but this is one of those things that you do need to learn about. I mean, you need to learn signs.
Yeah, I mean, last year we spoke to almost 4,000 kids in classrooms.
But, wow, okay.
But prior to COVID, we had reached 12,000. We need to reach critical mass to really make a difference.
Oh, that's substantial.
We speak with elementary students on healthy friendships. We speak with middle schoolers on warning signs and healthy relationships. Same thing with high schoolers. And of course, it's tailored depending on the age. Yeah, I mean, children take things home, which has been great mm-hmm. because sometimes, you know, if somebody has parents experiencing domestic violence, that's been an opportunity for a child who didn't know what to do otherwise, now taking something home to a parent who they know needs the help. And then sometimes people reach out because of that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that is one of the benefits of where Absolutely. It may go into houses that,
I mean,
you don't
the
even
kids
know.
Feel terrified about it. They then paralyzed.
Yeah.
But then now they realize there's a resource, and that sometimes is a way the family gets help.
Well, there are so many programs with anti-bullying programs, and that's kind of that can be used as kind of a start-off point.
Yes.
Of mm-hmm. you can start with that, and then these are some other ways that this can be manifested.
Yeah, when we have our elementary school presentations, we cover bullying as well, healthy friendships. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so important, because the healthy friendships ultimately and hopefully result in healthy relationships when kids do get old enough.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you want people to interact with you? How do you want to interact with other people? It kind of puts everybody in check in a way, because kids are able to identify what qualities they want from other people. But it's interesting when they realize, oh, you know, maybe I'm not acting the best that I can.
Yeah.
You know, that they can put a name to it and go, okay, I guess I need to look at myself too.
Yeah, no, that can be important, because it's not always what's happening with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be the problem.
Right. It's really interesting to watch them kind of come to that conclusion, or sometimes we read it in the evaluations that they write on how they realized, okay, I can see that I can improve, that I didn't realize maybe I was a problem.
Which that though is exciting, that yes. when you have that kind of thing, and yes. to know that you've made that inroad, and you know, maybe that's one situation, or you know, that's a person in a relationship that they're not gonna be making some of these mistakes.
They are so interested in the topic. So it's great. They're very interactive, you know, like I don't know what teachers are seeing all the time and how bored or how interested their students are. But in these presentations, the kids get really, really involved and active in them.
Well, that has to make you feel good when you see those kind of reports and hear those kinds of stories. There is hope in a lot of this.
Oh, yeah. And there's so much more that can be done. Like, we do more in Spotsylvania schools because we have a special grant for primary prevention. So we're able to work with really less students, but in a more concentrated fashion. And that is really rewarding. It's great for them. They explore more parts of, you know, how they interact with the world. And that's super positive. Yeah.
Kathy Anderson here. This is what a great topic. I've got a couple other questions about this to ask you that you have brought up in my mind. We'll do that when we come back. Kathy Anderson with Empower House here this morning. EmpowerHouseVA.org. The hotline is 373-9373. 373-9373. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg FreePress.com studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Miss a part of the show? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, back to your host, Ted Schubel.
Kathy Anderson with Empower House in this morning as we talk about domestic violence. EmpowerHouseVA.org, or the hotline number, 373-9373. And again, Kathy, that hotline number, If you feel like you've got, you know, you're in danger, or you might be just a friend with questions, and that brings up as we talk about the shooting and the couple of people that died in Fredericksburg, somewhere along the way you wish that someone either had said to her, do you think you're in danger? Do you think you ought to, you know, you ought to do this, or even the man to have said, you know, is everything okay? Or, you know, do you think you need help? And just to look for, when you see warning signs, don't just, it's hard. It's hard to know. I get involved?
Having a conversation, you know, I see what's going on. I see this doesn't look healthy. You know, can we talk about this? Or we're going to talk about this? Like, I think about family members. I mean, you don't really know what happened. We don't know what happened, and we don't know the circumstances. So we could talk about any situation where you suspect domestic violence. There's something leading you to believe that. It could be injuries that you see. It could be just the way you see somebody treat someone else in a very controlling and domineering fashion. Just because people are married or in a relationship doesn't mean that what goes on between that couple is exclusively their own business, you know. Like, it becomes other people's business when things are going very awry, when there's physical violence, when there's emotional abuse. These are things people can call out and have a conversation about, and should, especially family members, especially friends, you know, who have influence, and maybe not always in front of both, you know, both parties. I think that's the challenge, is people feel like, what if I say the wrong thing? But I think always in the erring on the side of the person being victimized,
yeah,
you know, to be able to say, you don't deserve that, to be able to say, I'm not okay with what I'm seeing, to be able to say, let's take a time out, you know, let's separate you two right now, and it's not okay what I'm seeing, it's, you know, what you have to be kinder, you know, like, let's separate you, but not saying anything, not saying what you observe, is not helping the situation.
Right. No, and that's the, what you observe is that's so important, because we've all been in situations of where you see a partner or someone, you know, snap back at something, and you think that's not how you talk to people, or you feel uncomfortable.
Too often people get a pass. Like, I would say those who are being harmful, you know, a family member may take a side and may say, well, this is my child and that child can do no wrong, or I don't want anything bad to happen to my child. If you see your child acting badly, then it is something where a parent has influence. And whether you believe you have influence or not, you should try to use that influence that you may have. You don't want that to continue. You do, for everybody's sake, want them to hear messaging that calls it out. And when I say for everybody's sake, I think, you know, for something to end in a tragedy where lives are lost, that's a finite, you can't get that back. I also think, in the example of what we saw yesterday in Fredericksburg, so many people's lives were put in danger because there were two vehicles going down the road, one trying to get away from the other. And, you know, hopefully, you know, in that effort to get away from the other, you know, that they would achieve it. But in the interim, how dangerous was that for everybody on the road? Because then he started shooting at the car. There were two kids in the car. There were other vehicles on the road. The car crashed. You know, there was so much danger in that situation. And, you know, we need to recognize that when we hear the term domestic, as if it's just the two people, just think of the impact of those two people on so many other people's lives.
Well, and when you talk, and we I know you offer volunteer training all the time. There you offer training, and there are things for people that want to get involved. There's so many ways to get involved in helping Empower House, whether it's through finances and financially helping you, mm-hmm. but also to volunteer, to take the training, to be able mm-hmm. to do some of the things that you do.
Yeah, we have a tremendous training program, and it's lengthy, and it's very solid, and people learn some really amazing ways to address and support survivors, and just learn really all about kind of the dynamics and the services available. And it's outstanding, the people who go through it. You know, we've had mother daughters, mother sons, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm sure I've told you this before, but I can remember we heard back from a mom one time where they had gone through the training, and she said, my daughter got into a domestic violence relationship. And she said, because we had gone through the training, we were able to swiftly move through that and safely, you know, extricate her from that relationship. Both the daughter could see the signs and the parents could see the signs, and they knew what to do.
Wow. Yeah. That's a powerful testimony.
Yeah.
And just the power that does, and that it not only helps the person that may be able to help others through Empower House, but it can help you in your own family situation.
Yeah, to put a stop to that. I mean, there are no guarantees, but to spot it early is really critical.
And to know some of the warning signs, and whether it's warning signs that you see of someone that's just a neighbor, a friend, whatever. If you see something, like you said earlier, don't just...
Right. At what point does somebody identify it? And I think that's one of the really interesting things about our school programming. Like, that's one of the activities is like the continuum. So there's like endless behaviors. Let's say there's 30 behaviors, and some of them are really clear and obvious. Anybody would know, yeah, that's abusive.
Yeah.
And then the others, there's a smattering of ones that aren't physical in nature that may play out in relationships, and people might not think of those things as abusive. And the students put them in order from least offensive to most offensive. But, you know, at some point, it becomes an act that is illegal because it's a violent act. But all the behaviors that show up that people aren't thinking of as abusive, but if you put them in the context of that relationship where the abusive person wants control and they want to feel powerful, and then you add several of those behaviors, you see, you know, once you learn that,
yeah,
you can call it out. You can say what it is. Not okay. It's not healthy.
Kathy Anderson here with Empower House, empowerhouseva.org, or the hotline is 373-9373. Are there things for the women's shelter? You're always, I know, needing supplies, there are always needs for the women's shelter, unfortunately. How can people get involved and help there?
Yeah, I mean, people sometimes go onto, you know, a list that we've had on our website, an Amazon list, but
yeah,
you can just go to the grocery store and bring them by our office at 150 Old Greenwich Street. And we sometimes people mail things to us, but it's, you know, shampoo and toilet paper and pots and pans and, you know, food, you know, like we take really a lot of things. We try to take new things because we just have been overloaded, like with clothing. So we're not accepting used clothing. Mm-hmm. We take, but new underwear and lots of things. They do Socktober, the Lions Club in Aquia. So we don't need socks, that thankfully. But, you know, people are really generous and meet a lot of the needs that we have for supplies at the shelter. Anything you use in your home, they use at the shelter, yeah.
That particular Lions Club is really active in a lot of different things. They've been with you for years, I know, because they've come in and we've done a show or two with them. And the Aquia Lions are really involved in the community.
They just had a state conference and they filled bags full of things that they had purchased for supplies for the shelter. Yeah.
So the shelter is a really interesting. You're really giving women and kids a chance to kind of decompress and feel safe and, you know, kind of plot things, but it takes things to live. And
yeah,
so if you can, like you say, provide things, stop by the Empower House office and drop by
give us a
things.
Call and we'll tell you how we can receive it. And financially, like utilities have gone up, for example, for so many people.
Oh, so, well, just in even feeding, just even food is.
Yeah. I mean, anything that people can do to help is really appreciated. But shelter is one of those concrete things that people say, you know, contributed to their safety, that they felt safer, that they achieved safety by coming into the shelter. And it's not a place that people are seeking out or know that they need until they need it. And it's so great that we have that here in this community.
Oh, it is, because it's literally a lifesaver. And if anybody takes anything from this show today anyway, I think it's that there are so many different areas you can get involved in.
Yeah.
And you might feel led and have some skills in helping in the front lines with something, but maybe in another way it's just volunteering to do things, or just being able to take the training and help out when you can, and be able to spot things in the community. We all see things. We all are in mm-hmm. situations where at times you see something or something is said and you just mm-hmm. think,
yeah, rather than
feel
staying
right.
silent, you know, there's something that can be said. Yeah, I see this. I see you. You don't deserve that. It's not okay to treat somebody that way. Let's talk about that. That's dangerous.
And right, and then we have the situation we did yesterday. And like you said, even if who knows where you are, you can on the way home today. All of a sudden,
it's not a private matter.
No,
it's
not when it matter. Becomes that.
Mm-mm. No. Because it's against the law. I mean, it's not a private matter when you're hurting the person you love and person you're in a relationship with. It's not just because you're in a relationship, it's a private matter. Not when you're crossing the line like that.
One of the things that Powerhouse did, it was about a month ago, where you honored a couple of volunteers and people that have been involved long term, and it's really great to hear the stories. To hear the stories at the beginning of Powerhouse, when it wasn't even called Powerhouse. But just the stories of the women and some men who really stepped out and took a chance.
Volunteers advance things hugely. Yeah. And so both of them as volunteers of the organization, one who helped start it and was a frontline worker, took hotline calls, brought people into her own home, was involved in so many ways and aspects, trying to raise funds for the organization, being involved in its finances, a board member, so much volunteerism over 20 years plus. And then another volunteer, well, anyway, that was Florence Ritterhoff, and then another volunteer, Byron Glaser, who formed the new identity when the name was changed and really helped survivors and their children see how they could get the help they needed through an organization now called Powerhouse, which just felt so much better than the name previously, Rappahannock Council on Domestic Violence, and really brought so much of the story of the how to positively impact, and also the tragic portion and survivors being able to tell their story and how to bring that forth in ways that people could view it. I mean, both of those volunteers deserved recognition, and yeah, we were able to do that at an event.
Well, and the other thing is, as we talk about what happened yesterday in the community, is there are so many situations that we'll never know of, things that were averted because of Powerhouse, because of like somebody stepping forward or somebody having the training to be able to talk to somebody. And it's as tragic as we see something that happened yesterday. A lot has been over the years, and that's what's always so thrilling about just the story and the continued work of Powerhouse.
Absolutely. And the law enforcement that are responding every day and are finding ways to help people move forward, move out of it, connect with resources. There's so much more now than there wasn't in the past, but there's also so many more people in our area, and there's so many people who were traumatized as young people who carry this forward. So we have a lot of work to do.
I think it will always stay with me now, the line when you said a few minutes ago, we can prevent this. And you all of a sudden think that's possible, because you just kind of look at some of this and you just think, well, that's just the way it is.
Not but for
it doesn't.
Resources.
It doesn't have to be.
Yeah, constrained by resources. We know what to do. We know how to prevent it. We can prevent it, but we need more resources too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I think of the especially you and the various staff members when you come in and talk about all the different places you work. And the people you work with, and just how effective that is, and how that has made our community safer and has saved lives.
We have a tremendous workforce, really dedicated people, the average 15 years experience across the team, people who care and show up every day in the variety of settings and helping survivors.
And they're like you, they're fun. They are fun.
Like you, Ted, right? Yeah, no, we've got great human beings doing this work and more volunteers, and we could use some more.
When you see that when there are events in the community, whether it is the empty bowl or the pies or just any of the number of different events that are around, or just if you want to just make a financial contribution, just
absolutely
do that, knowing it's helping the community.
Yeah, on the website, it's just so easy to do. Just go there and check it out. And it's very easy to make a financial contribution of any size, and certainly be in touch if there's something special you'd like to do in supporting the organization. And our events, we'll have, Night of 1,000 Pies, August 29th. We have our golf tournament the first Friday in October. But now's the time to start inquiring about those. We're releasing the information to sign up and get tickets and be sponsors to support the organization financially. And then, you know, Empty Bowl will come up again next February. So, but as you said, it doesn't have to be through those events. At any time, someone can support the organization.
Yeah. And when you see that there's volunteer training and you think you might be interested in something, like you said, it's good training. Take
it. We have eight people going through it right now. Great group of people. Mm. And they learn so much. So intensive, and they form friends because, you know, they spend all that time together. It's really helpful.
Yeah. EmpowerHouseVA.org or 373-9373 for the hotline. 373-9373. 540-373-9373. Kathy Anderson here. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WF.
It's the only local talk show in Fredericksburg. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite streaming platform to hear Town Talk anytime, 24/7, 365. And now, Ted Schubel.
Kathy Anderson here, just for a couple more minutes before we get out of here with summer and everything, and you, I guess you've got kids home, especially at the shelter, and there are you know, snacks and things like that that can help.
Help right now in terms of things that people can buy and bring by. And we, you know, our children's groups are going all summer long. The kids are home from school at the shelter and cooped up. So, you know, toys and games and summer activities are certainly appreciated and welcome. Craft supplies, you know, anything that, that kids want to do in the summertime, now's it's helpful. And snacks, children's snacks. Yep.
I never thought of that, but yeah, whether it's snacks or games, toys, all that
in
kind
our
of
community,
stuff.
Over 10,000 children witness domestic violence every year. So think that, you know, half of our population at shelter are children, and it's summertime, and they're home from school. So that was a good time. Think about them.
That number is way too big.
Exactly.
That's massive.
We have five localities and a population of what, 400,000 people in this area.
See, and that's the having you come in, Kathy, is so valuable each time, because sometimes we don't think of those kinds of things, and we just think everybody gets along. But then we have a situation like yesterday, or you come in and talk about those kinds of numbers.
Yeah.
And it makes you realize that the work that EmpowerHouse does every day is so important, and why it's important for volunteers, but financially too. Financially, as you said, you can do a lot of things if you have the money to be able to do it.
We're impacting people every day, and we could be impacting more. Correct. Yep.
EmpowerHouseVA.org. Again, this is the website, EmpowerHouseVA.org. 373-9373 is the number to know for the hotline number. And if you see things or just want to pass it along, I guess one of the easiest ways is just to say, hey, I don't know what's going on, but I don't know if you ever have a need to, there's this number.
Yeah, I'm seeing something and I'm not sure how to talk with somebody about it. That's a good reason to call our hotline and talk to somebody.
540-373-9373. And if you need to drop things off at EmpowerHouse, 150 Old Greenwich Street.
Old Greenwich.
Old Boulevard. 373-9373 is the number for the hotline, EmpowerHouseVA.org. Kathy Anderson here. Kathy, thank you. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Ted.
Thanks. That's it. Thanks for listening. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite streaming platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.